Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we always welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls until we ask for them. Our guest this evening is Michael Trudeau of Colonial Resources, and they do help to support Radio Liberty. And we're going to be talking about what's going on in the financial world and how this is going to impact on the people out there in the listening audience. You know, as we begin looking and seeing what's going on in America today, and Hewlett-Packard has announced they're going to lay off somewhere between 10 and 25,000 additional employees. And they're not laying them off over in India, let me tell you, because so often if you have something wrong with your Hewlett-Packard printer, why, you call and you get some fellow named John, but he's got, he's over in New Delhi over there. They've outsourced a lot of their support over to India. And more American corporations are simply moving overseas. If you look and see what's happening to American manufacturers, why their profit margin is narrowing, they're paying more for the natural resources, the wages are going up here in the United States, and there's just no way that over a long period of time they can compete with the very, very low wages in China, Malaysia, other countries throughout the world. And so more and more of our corporations, whether they want to or not, are being forced to leave this country as part of a planned program to lower living standards here in the United States, destroy our industrial base, and eventually to impoverish our people. But in the meantime, of course, things look pretty good. The stock market looks pretty good. The housing market is still booming. In fact, you can buy a house with nothing down. You can buy a house with an adjustable rate mortgage. You can buy a house with no interest, with interest-only payments, or you can buy a house with less than interest payments. In other words, the amount of money you owe on that house increases every year you own it. So you haven't got any equity in it, and the value of what you owe on the house goes up every year. And you would think that if the Federal Reserve System really wanted to solve the problem, they would put an end to this foolishness. It's very obvious that they have no intention of doing what's right to try to curb what's going on, and the modest increase in interest rates is doing very little. And with that as the background, Michael Trudeau, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Absolutely a pleasure to be with you again, Stan. And I tell you, listening to what you were talking about there for a minute with the low interest the interest only, and then the not even interest only loans, it's really getting so ridiculous. And you start to think about, you know, how much longer it'll be until they start offering you cash payments in order to be in one of their homes, simply so that they can continue to rack up debt for you.
One of my friends just bought two condominiums that were being built in Florida. They just finished building them, and he's going to turn around and sell them for $50,000 more each than he paid for them.
Isn't
so he's going to make $100,000 on the houses that are just being completed today. This is madness.
Well, it is, and I'll tell you, you hit the nail right on the head with the Federal Reserve, because over at Federal Reserve headquarters, the squeeze is actually really starting to come on. You noticed, and we've talked even about this, the fact that the bonds had changed, the I-bonds anyway, with a fixed rate. And they had been a floating rate, but now fixed for 20 years. We're going to tell you a little bit about why they did that and some of the other things in the squeeze, too.
All right, fine. Well, why don't we sort of hold that off, because we're going to have a couple of minutes here when we're going to be losing a lot of our stations. And I want, when we get back, for you to explain really what's going on as far as the bond market, why the long range of the bonds are actually going down. The interest rates are actually going down rather than going up. But a lot that's going on just doesn't make sense. Well, Michael, why don't you pick up the story from there?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Why don't you pick up the story from there?
Yeah, well, it's interesting as we were going into the break talking a little bit about how the Federal Reserve has got the squeeze on, and we talked about in the very beginning of noticing this aspect of these bonds changing, is that it was interesting to note, and it's very frustrating when you watch this, that as the interest rates are being pushed down in the last few years, down to the lowest rate in, what, 40-some years now, that the bonds are allowed to fall all the way down with them. But the second they begin raising those interest rates, that at that point step in and say, you know, we're going to have to make some changes here on the way we pay out in these bonds. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to give you a fixed rate on those for 20 years. So now when you buy into that bond today at maybe a 3% or 4% rate, you're stuck at that 4% rate for the next 20 years. And we've talked about that even if that rate rises dramatically. We've also talked a little bit about the fact that the bankruptcy law has changed. You've got to pay now pretty much. If there's any way that they can show that you can, you've got to pay for your products. And then the last thing that I've kind of seen that steps into this aspect is these credit cards are now doubling the minimum payment amount that you can make on your balance. And I've got an article here that just kind of popped off of CNN, and they talk about the fact that within the next 2 months, Bank of America, MBNA, and Citigroup will raise minimum monthly payments on their cards from 2% of the balance up to 4%, and that doesn't include the interest, and most other card issuers are expected to make similar changes by the end of the year. Now, credit card companies are under mounting pressure, it says, by the government to raise the minimum monthly payments. And you're going to love this because it says to help Americans get out of debt more quickly. And yes, it's always in the government's best interest to have us out of debt, isn't it? So I found that pretty interesting. But again, it still points to the fact that the squeeze is on, and what's happening here is they're closing up all of the loopholes that they can as to where some of this money is slipping away from them through the cracks. And one of them, of course, is through these minimum payment aspects. If they can bring that payment level up before these people start to default, they can try to squeeze every last penny out of us before it comes to that point of absolutely having to default on all of these things.
Well, of course, my concern is that the change of the bankruptcy laws, to me, suggests that they are anticipating a lot of people are going to get into very, very real problems, and they're not going to simply be able to walk away from their debts as they have in the past. We've had very, very liberal bankruptcy laws. People were encouraged to spend irresponsibly. But I believe that those days are coming to a rapid end. What are your thoughts?
I agree with that 100%. And again, when we turn to what's happening in the housing market and you look to a lot of the fact that these kids who are getting out there right now for the first time are thinking, hey, I'm going to get this fabulous house because this is available to me with this wonderful interest rate, and the banks are just about forcing everybody to take loans.
Hold that thought there for just a moment, Michael, sure. As we bring our... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Michael Trudeau of Colonial Resources, and he was simply pointing out several fascinating things that are happening today. You've really never got to look and see what it says in the newspaper. You begin to look behind what's going on. And one of the more interesting things is that the government is insisting that the credit card companies have increasing payment. In other words, you can't just pay the interest on what you owe or 2% of the base. You're going to have to pay at least 4% plus the interest rate. So the unlimited borrowing on credit cards is going to begin to be squeezed. And then, of course, they've changed the bankruptcy laws. Why did they change the bankruptcy laws? Because they know more and more people are going to go bankrupt, and you're not going to be able to walk away from your debt in the future as you have in the past. In other words, they're anticipating there are going to be some dire circumstances out there, and they're not going to take a chance on the banks being hurt, but people are going to be hurt, and you're not going to be able to simply say, well, I'm going to go into Chapter 11 or whatever I would be going into as far as bankruptcy is concerned. I think you're going to find it increasingly difficult to get out of debt. And this is, of course, how people are enslaved. And it's as old as time itself. You never want to be in debt. But, of course, here in the United States, they've done everything they could to encourage us to go into debt. Our people have no savings. You go to other countries, people are saving because they realize the good times aren't going to go on forever. Here in the United States, there's an attitude, nothing's going to change. The good times are going to continue rolling on. And I can tell you, having been watching things for now for, well, an awful long time, why we're in real trouble. And you listen to what people like Paul Volcker and Warren Buffett and George Soros the other very, very smart investors, Julian Robertson, have said, and they know that there's real problems coming down the line, and they're taking defensive actions to defend themselves. whereas so many Americans are going out and buying cars. You can buy them now at employee discounts. You can get a new house with literally nothing down, and sometimes you don't even have to pay all the interest on it. But the good times aren't going to last forever. So pick up the story there, Michael.
You're right, and you bring up a good point, because we've touched on the Hewlett-Packard issue, and they're, you know, setting, I've got the article in front of me, talking about slashing another 14,500 jobs up to another, you know, 20,000. Well, you start to think about that group, because it's not just Hewlett-Packard that's slashing. I mean, you're starting to see these articles popping up everywhere of companies who are downsizing and slashing jobs. How will the people who are just about to lose their job at Hewlett-Packard now step in and say, well, you know, listen, here's the problem I've got, Mr. Banker. I know that I took a little bit further bite than I probably should have and got a little bit bigger mortgage than I probably should have, but I just got downsized here over at Hewlett-Packard. Please be understanding. And we know that that's not going to be the case. That's why it is happening. And again, here's an individual, and we point out that it's a small group, because we're talking about 14,500, and even if you start talking about all of the people getting laid up, it still is a small group. The bigger group comes in with those kids who are sucked into getting the houses on these floating arm mortgages, where they've got this adjustable rate problem. So now as the rates are rising, as they got in at these incredible low rates where they could afford it, now these rates are rising and they can't make these ends meet. So you couple that with that housing market problem, with that the job layoffs scene that we're starting to see, with the pension problems that we're starting to see rearing their heads everywhere, it's just not looking good, period. And if anybody tells you that the economy is doing well, they're sadly mistaken. The economy is not doing very well, and you might see little bright pockets here and there, and of course the people that want you to see the good news, and it's very hard for them to find it when it's a lot easier for me to find bad news than it is for me to find good news. Housing starts, we talked a little bit about the housing market continuing on strong, and in fact it's starting to teeter. Last time I was with you, I mentioned that we're starting to see housing prices starting to actually drop in areas of the country. 2 days after I was up with you, CNN came out with an article talking about the 15 largest markets being vulnerable right now, and they represent 35% of the economy. Right now in front of me, I've got an article that came out today from Reuters talking about the housing starts were flat in June. And that is something that Wall Street economists did not expect. They expected an increase, but the rate fell. And again, it's one of those things where you say, boy, that's a big bubble when we're talking 35% of the economy representing only 15 of the major housing markets. They're saying that it is very vulnerable. Kathy Boyle was just out on CNBC. She's the president's economic advisor, saying they expect a massive housing correction. When asked where to put her money, she said gold. An interesting footnote of that is the SEC, Securities Exchange Commission nominee, if you will, President Bush's, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he was forced to disclose his money, where he's got his money. And again, here's the guy who's stepping into the Securities Exchange Commission's top spot, hopefully, and that most of his portfolio is currently in gold. You know, so it's one of those things where you go, wow, that's an interesting footnote when the Securities and Exchange Commission guy, who's in gold, he's telling you that, you know, this is something that you all should be thinking about, too. I'll bet Alan Greenspan's got plenty of his portfolio protected as well.
Well, I think it's very interesting. And if you go back in the history of manufacturing in this country, during the Second World War, almost half of our people who were employed in manufacturing. About 10 years ago, it was 16% of our population employed in manufacturing. Today, it's about 10% of our people are employed in manufacturing. The manufacturing here is declining and declining rapidly, and the manufacturing then is increasingly being done in other countries. So what are we becoming? Why, we're becoming a service industry. Now, a service society, in other words, we're all taking care of one another, but you can't be wealthy, if you're not manufacturing, if you're not mining. And of course, they put all the restrictions on mining. We can't cut our timber. And so where's our money going to come from? Where's our wealth going to come from? Well, right now we're the reserve currency. We can get by with a lot of excesses, but what happens if that begins to change? And I think as you begin looking and seeing what's happening in America, you have to understand that what's happening is not by accident. There is a master plan. And it's laid out, really, as we've said many times before, laid out in the Earth Charter. And if you haven't read it, it is a master plan put together by some of the most powerful men in the world, three of them. A man named Mikhail Gorbachev, former dictator of Russia, a man named Maurice Strong, And then, of course, there is Stephen Rockefeller, who is the heir apparent to the Rockefeller a fortune, which is fabulous and far exceeds that of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. But they're not going to tell you that. But the Rockefellers, have literally probably hundreds of billions, if not a trillion or more dollars in assets within the family. And in the Earth Charter, they talk, and point number 10 of the Earth Charter, about redistributing wealth within nations and between nations. Redistributing wealth within nations and between nations. What they're really talking about is redistributing the wealth of this country to other countries. And when you understand that, then everything makes sense, because these people's loyalty is not to the United States. Certainly, Gorbachev isn't loyal to the United States. Maurice Strong is a Canadian. His loyalty is to this internationalist dream and to his occult beliefs. And certainly Stephen Rockefeller, if you've read his book, Science and Nature, I think is the title of it, why you realize, of course, where he is coming from, an entirely different worldview. So if you understand what's happening, that things begin to make sense. If you're looking for anything rational, nothing makes sense. Well, Michael?
Yeah, I tell you, when you're hitting the nail right on the head when you start talking about looking at things that are rational, because it's so amazing. You can talk to people on the street and ask them things about what's happening around them and realize that people are seeing, or are basically seeing what they're being, I guess, told to see. You've got this incredible machine that's been conditioning people to understand things the way the machine wants you to understand things. The machine, of course, being the Federal Reserve System. These are the guys that are pulling all of the strings. And, these economy issues that we talk about, the ups and downs of the economy, like you pointed out, Stan, this is stuff that does not happen by accident. All of it is happening by design. The good times in the economies, those are happening by design. The bad times in our economy is happening by design as well. And it's all about stripping us from our wealth and taking our labor from us. I noticed an interesting little article about their out there right now about the average folks that are starting to feel the pinch. What I mean by the average folks is there's a retail report out there that says there's a group that expects an 8.2% drop this year in average spending on school-related products. And I caught this off CNN this morning. Retailers are banking on back-to-school bonanza this year, but they're going to be disappointed because they say the average amount of money families will spend on school-related merchandise will be down 8.2%. So, if you're sending little Johnny and Betty off to school with, almost 10% less school supplies, there's got to be a pretty strong reason behind it. And I say that because I'm a dad. I've got kids. I want to send my kids off to school with the best armament I can, the best supplies available. And if mom and dad are having to cut back 10% right off the bat on what they send the kids back to school with, that also, to me, is a pretty good indicator, because I always put my kids first, predominantly anyways.
Well, it's very interesting, Michael, that in most countries, why people are saving. People are saving over in China. People are saving in Japan. They've got a very, very high rate of saving. Here in the United States, we have literally no savings. People are not saving their money. And because the idea is, of course, that they've got nothing to worry about. They've got a pension fund that's going to be out there to look after them.
And
they're going to
have
their
Social Security.
And people really think that they don't have to save for their old age. My parents saved during their whole life for their old age so that they could be secure. Here in the United States, there is almost a Pollyanna attitude that nothing bad is ever going to happen. And I think people are in for a very real surprise. And I think people a lot smarter than I am are in for a very real surprise. And we've referred in the past to an article that was written on the 10th of April by Paul Volcker. But you can get it if you have a computer. You can go to Google and type in Paul Volcker, April 10th, Washington Post. And Washington and Paul Volcker talks about the fact that certainly our people have no savings. Our country is spending 6% more than it's taking in. And, of course, as he says, the central banks of the world will not indefinitely continue this. Now, since Paul Volcker is in contact with the central bankers of the world, I think he knows exactly what he's talking about. And as he said, whether it'll be sooner or later, whether it'll be with a bang or a whimper, why, something is coming, and I think it's going to be a financial crisis. Are you prepared out there in the listening audience? Well, when we get back, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Michael, you know, I'm sure you're acquainted with Paul Volcker's thoughts. And what are your thoughts about, do you think there's going to be a financial crisis coming when the people don't expect it?
Absolutely. And I think that you're right when you say people smarter than you and I both will be surprised by this. And again, I pointed out, you know, when you ask people generally in the public about the issues around them, it's just stunning to me how very little people know. And I think that the problem isn't that, you know, it's a lack of initiative on the folks to go out and get educated. I think it's a fact of the matter being is that we've been conditioned all the way through our lifetimes. You've pointed out that there's no savings here, as there are comparatively to us in some of these Asian nations where they've been conditioned to save their whole lives, and they do. But over here, we don't have any savings because we've been conditioned to live paycheck to paycheck. And it, you know, we have this aura about us of we're invincible because should anything go wrong, number one, the government will always be there to take care of us. Even if we're hard-working individuals who've never been out of a job in our lives, we've still got that thing in the back of our minds that says the government will be there to take care of us if I fall. So I can extend myself or be just a little bit riskier maybe than I might be compared to, like you, as you pointed out, our parents. My grandparents, for instance, were incredible when it comes to the amount of money that they would save. I mean, these guys lived like it was still in the Depression and had plenty of money. But they lived that way because they were conditioned as to how things can be because they both went through the Depression. So they were very frugal. They didn't waste anything. And they saved a lot of money, and they were able to live well into their retirement age simply because they had done that. They didn't rely on Social Security, and it's a good thing that they did that because I've picked up some of those habits. And I know for my sake, at the age of 43, the likelihood that I'm going to see any type of Social Security benefit is slim to none. So for me to sit back and rely on that, I think it's very foolhardy. And I think that a lot of people have been conditioned to do just that. But I think it's something that with enough education, enough information, you can break that bond that they've pretty much brainwashed us all with. So, again, I don't think it's a hopeless issue, but I definitely think you're right on target with the fact that people are going to be absolutely shocked when this thing hits.
Well, I think it's so interesting, though. If you look at the market's really not doing too bad. And yet, I wonder how many people are really invested in the market. And does the Dow Jones really reflect the market, or are we simply being manipulated? Are they creating our perception? Are they creating our reality by artificially manipulating those 30 Dow Jones industrials?
Well, I think you've got a pretty large group out there that we've talked about that's in the Caribbean that is propping things up, so to speak, by buying, you know, copious amounts of stock here in United States firms, as well as, you know, dollar instruments. And you can certainly step back and say it's interesting that nobody else is doing that except for this large group in the Caribbean. So apparently there's a group of investors in the Caribbean that knows something none of us do, or there's some shenanigans going on. And when it comes to propping up this market, if you will, artificially.
And are you suggesting then that this is all being manipulated or orchestrated by some very powerful people working within or with our government, with and within our government?
Well, surely, because again, what it really boils down to is the fact that you know, we'd all like to see things the way we think it should be, but the manipulators, the group of manipulators, are the people with the money. We're talking, of course, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, and so on. And these guys make donations to these campaigns for the senators and for the representatives that no human being could touch. So again, you're going up against some pretty powerful lobbying.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Michael Trudeau of Colonial Resources, and we've been talking about the Dow Jones. This is 30 industrial stocks that are constantly manipulated by the people who run the stock exchange so that they are usually the stocks that are moving up. But it's all a matter of perception. If a stock isn't doing well, they'll simply take it off the Dow Jones and they'll put another one in there. We react as we see the Dow Jones quoted day after day. We react, we're happy when the market is going up. We're a little depressed when the market is going down, even if we're not invested in the market at all, as I'm not. But we respond as exactly as we're supposed to be. And when you understand that they know how to manipulate the conscious attitudes of the American people, and as Edward Bernays said, you know, by the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the reality, the masses of the people is an important element in a democratic society, and those who manipulate this mechanism constitute an invisible government, which is the real ruling or governing class in our society. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never known. Edward Bernays said that in 1928 in his book Propaganda. And yet, it's so true today, we are manipulated. Until you understand we're being manipulated, you really cannot understand anything going on. And as you read the financial pages, understand you are reading what they want you to read. You are believing what they want you to believe. And your mind is being manipulated by largely by people you are not even aware of.
It's interesting. I point out to a lot of people about this manipulation aspect and how we're being trained. And it's almost like, you know, we're in a maze and we're being trained as lab rats, and they're putting the cheese in various parts of the maze. And they change the maze as things go along to make sure that we are steered the way they want us to be steered through this manipulation. One of the things we've talked about several times, you and I, is this coming cashless society issue and how we're being shown how this is going to happen at some point simply because of all of these terrible things that are happening around us, one of which being ID theft. And, you know, there's an article in the Money Magazine, the most recent Money Magazine out of New York, that talks about ID theft. It's only a matter of time. The odds are increasing that it'll hit you. And then it says, you know, just in the byline of it, the personal data of 50 million Americans have been exposed just this year. As many as 1 in 6 of us are now vulnerable to identity theft. And what they mean by that 1 in 6, I want to point something out, it's not 1 in 6 credit card people, not 1 in 6 people who have bank accounts, because that's 1 in 6 people in America, including kids. So when we start looking at the people that are, you know, basically involved in finances, it's quite a bit higher than 1 in 6 of us that are vulnerable now to this terrible thing that's occurring everywhere. And they point out in the article what's to blame. Sometimes it's carelessness. Other times it's security. But I want to show you how the manipulation is in this article. It says it's time for all of us to concede that our data ultimately cannot be defended, which is why it's only a matter of time before your identity is compromised in some way. The solution doesn't lie in better corporate security or more vigilant card issuers. It's in making sure that if your data does go missing, it can't be used against you. You should have the simple right to request a credit freeze. And here's why I want to point out the manipulation, so just bear with me for a second. It says this credit freeze, which stops anyone from looking at your credit report, making it next to impossible for a thief to open a fraudulent account. Now, here's the key. Congress has been pounding tables to look responsive, but to date has shown little appetite for giving you the ultimate protection, a credit freeze, anytime you want one. And here's the reason. This may have something to do with the fact that the financial services industry, read Federal Reserve System, if you will, which generally opposes freezes, ranks first in campaign contributions to House and Senate members. Once again, it's the group, the Federal Reserve, the guys with the big money, controlling the House, controlling the Senate by saying, hey, you want to get reelected? Here's the purse strings. I need you to do it this way. Okay. That's why you and I and the little guys will never be able to defeat that, because we're not a strong enough voice as a lobbyist group. We don't have enough money to compete against the Rothschilds and Rockefellers of the world.
And, of course, the solution is, why, we just give you a chip and then nobody can steal your identity. Well, let's go to a Dave who's calling us from Illinois. And, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen.
You have a question for our guest.
First of all, comment. You talk about the stock market. One thing that really gets me is that whenever they talk about the stock market, they focus on the Dow and the NASDAQ.
Sure.
And, you know, the Dow is only 30 lousy companies. There are probably tens of thousands of companies in this country. So there's no way in the world that a collection of 30 can represent the entire economy.
But you
it's
see
totally
people...
ludicrous.
Well, not only that, but if a stock in that group of 30 gets to be doing too poorly, they simply get rid of it and pull in a better performer.
Dave, it's all a matter of perception. If you want to understand that you are being manipulated, your ideas are being suggested, your tastes are being formed, that it all makes sense. So you're absolutely right. Will you go and hang on? We're just going to have to go to a quick break here, and we'll be right back to you here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we've, of course, got Dave calling from Illinois. Dave, did you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, the basic question is, looking at this whole housing market and the whole ball of wax, the housing bubble, the stock market bubble, and everything else, and this ever-increasing budget deficit and the expense war in Iraq, when did you guys think that the bubble's finally going to really start bursting? This year, or do you think it won't happen until next year or whatever?
Well, personally, I think it's happening right now around us. And again, the bubble is bursting in a couple of areas, one being is this housing market is starting to falter for the very first time. And it's been marching steadfast upward for the last 4 or 5 straight years, 6 years, without pause. And for the first time, it's slowing itself down, and you can see that faltering beginning. And you're starting to see the articles now for the first time coming out talking about it. And that's usually the harbinger, is when you first start seeing these articles coming out that talk about the fact that it's vulnerable, that something could happen, and so on. And you're starting to see that. But again, you're also starting to see articles talking about the fact that the prices are beginning to drop, and that the housing starts were down in June when they were expected to be up, and so on. So it's real. It's not perceived.
No, let me just point out, Dave, that one of my friends had just noted that the value line, which is really an estimate of all of the stocks, it's sort of a new high. I believe, of course, it's overshooting. I believe it's all contrived, and it represents this optimism of people. But right now, things really look pretty good, but I agree with you. It's only a matter of time. The question is when, and I don't think any of us are smart enough to know that.
One thing that's kind of crazy about where at the time, I don't live in Chicago, but I live in a medium-sized city in Illinois, and they are building homes like there's no tomorrow.
Right.
It's absolutely insane. And pure logic tells me there aren't that many rich people in town. And I just, you know, they must all be borrowing money out of the yin-yang. And when this, I don't know, when this thing goes, it's going to be bloody, I think.
I think you're absolutely right. And but basically, you can buy those houses, you know, for nothing down. You don't even have to pay all the interest on it. I mean, it's the most amazing thing in the world.
Exactly. It's crazy. It's total insanity is what it is.
All we can do, of course, is try to reach the people that listen to us and say, begin making preparations for bad times. Okay, anything else you wanted to say?
Nope, just keep a good workup.
Okay, God bless.
Thanks.
And let's go to Ray, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I just wanted to say, you know, what's the chances with Bush maybe trying to print congressional notes? Or, you know, print more money, you know.
Well, remember that Bush doesn't make the decisions. Bush
he doesn't make
the
decisions.
The decisions are made by the central bankers, represented by Alan Greenspan. But Bush does not do what make the decisions Alan Greenspan does. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I guess we lost Ray there. Well, I'm sorry. Anyway, anybody would like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest is Michael Trudeau of Colonial Resources. And Michael, would you like to get your telephone number out, your website, so people would know how to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Be happy to do it. And I think that, you know, one of the things I want to point out is that folks can call us toll-free if they'd like straightforward advice on basically how you can best protect, you know, your financial situation, what you can do to protect yourself from this coming cashless society. One of the things that we've done is we've put together one of the most informational literature packages available on the subject. We've literally received thousands of requests for ways to avoid the coming cashless society and our article on how things will be purchased in the cashless society. These are must-reads, and they're free simply by calling us toll-free at 1-800-685-4042. Again, that's 800-685-4042. And we've got a lot of the articles that you're hearing us talking about tonight that we post up on our website, which is colonialresources.com. And, of course, you can download those articles and pass them to your friends and family as you talk about this stuff with them, because it's hard to talk about these things without having some form of support with you to say, look, I'm not just making this stuff up. Here it is. Here's an article from this source and this source and that source. So we'll happily pass out any of the articles as well.
And certainly the majority of the people are not going to believe. I mean, nobody wants to hear bad news, and
no.
People don't want to hear they have cancer. They don't want to hear that they have a progressive and degenerative disease that's going to kill them. They don't want to hear that the good times are going to end. They want to believe it's going to go on forever. And, you know, the interesting point is that things always go on longer than you anticipate. The market goes higher than you anticipate. And but, of course, sooner or later, why this is going to have to reverse itself, because the whole world's economy is beginning to collapse and they're going to contract. And certainly the only thing that is keeping the world really from imploding right at the present time is massive spending by the American consumer. But if we were simply not spending more than we were taking in, it wouldn't be so bad. But we are, and we are being financed by foreign central banks and by foreigners, and they're not going to continue investing in the United States, at least not indefinitely.
No, there's no question about that. I wanted to comment quickly on what Ray had asked about President Bush issuing some type of currency or notes, and I wanted to point out the last president that tried to issue currency was Kennedy, and they killed him shortly thereafter. That was his issue on trying to repeal the 1913 Federal Reserve Act. That ended up, I think, costing him his life. When people say, well, why do you think he was, you know, killed? My answer always comes back to this one, which is, hey, follow the money, and you'll find plenty of motivation for killing anybody when you look at that kind of money when we're talking about shutting down the Federal Reserve System. I also wanted to bring this in because this is that aspect we talked about in some of this brainwashing as we're being shown how the need for the cashless society is coming. Here's an article that was just out today on CNN Money. Talking about cash or plastic, well, how about fingerprints? They said instead of keeping countless cards and pieces of information that verify your ID, soon there will be only one thing you need, yourself. And identity theft has become, one more time, we see it right here, again, the identity theft flag has become the bane of consumers everywhere. Technologies aimed at making transactions more secure are gaining ground. Such biometric technologies include iris scans, as well as those for fingerprints, palms, skin, voice, and face patterns. And again, here's what it boils down to, is we're being told of this need to somehow figure out a way to stop this identity theft. And, of course, the other issue is the counterfeiting issue. So we're being constantly shown with every time we bring a bill in and they mark it with the special magic marker that these issues are prominent, they're big problems, and one way or another, we're going to get this thing solved. And, of course, that solving will come in the form of that cashless society when they rip cash right out and simply, as you pointed out, say, here's your microchip, guys, because the biometrics aren't working either. They can be circumvented, but that microchip that's implanted specifically on every person cannot be tampered with. So this will work, and that's why everybody has to do this. And, again, once that happens, once they take cash out of the system, none of us will be able to transact any of our financial data without having to do so publicly under the scrutiny of the government. At that point, there will be no such thing as private funds. There will be no such thing as having your money, let's just say, under the table. That won't be happening anymore because at that point, it will all be electronic. They'll be able to track every single cent. And it's happening all around you. I mean, Albertsons, to be the best example, they're the number two supermarket chain, one of hundreds of retailers that are testing biometric payment systems that let customers pay for purchases with a mere swipe of their finger. They did it right here in Minneapolis, 16th largest market in the country, with the Cub Food Store, which is, like Albertsons, again, a very large retail supermarket chain. Now you can walk right in and just simply swipe your finger through a thing, and that's it. They automatically transfer that money right from your bank account right to the merchant. You don't have to hand over a card, sign a receipt, punch in a PIN number, nothing. That's it.
Isn't that wonderful?
I mean, you can just see, and they're conditioning you to see that it's a common thing. Everywhere I go now, I'm seeing everybody using these contactless pay systems, so it must be normal. It must be something that I should accept happily and realize that it's for my convenience, having nothing to do with the Federal Reserve System and the banking cartel stealing our wealth.
Well, Michael, what do you think that people should be doing to protect themselves, you know, because we don't know whether there's going to be inflation or whether there's going to be deflation. So what can people really do to protect themselves and protect what they've worked so hard for?
Well, one thing that you know, I always say when I'm asked that question, Stan, is gold. And there's a good reason for it, because when we talk about inflation or deflation, really when we look at the things that are available to us to protect our buying power, which is what really matters, what is it that I can protect my buying power with, whether it's deflationary or inflationary? Well, then if I look to gold, since it continually holds its buying power, the dollar's purchasing power that I put in there today is held for a later date, regardless of what's happening economically. So if I'm trying to say to myself, I want to protect my wealth now, and I put that into gold coins, the second I do that, then I stop that wealth from eroding, whether it be inflationary trend or deflationary trend. I've protected these dollars. People ask me, why are you in precious metals? Why did you open a precious metals firm? Like Kathy Boyle, I have to answer the same thing, because I can't think of a single thing that offers better protection. Kathy pointed out that, you know, you've got this track record of gold that goes back for 5,000 years, but in the last 5 years, you've got a 70% increase on its value. What would point to something that's given a 70% return on what you've put into it that would be available to you? Because right now, over the last 2 years, according to Good Morning America stats, mine say it's worse, but according to even what they've said, getting their numbers from the Fed, 25% decline in our buying power in the last 2 years. That's powerful. Anybody that's telling you the economy is doing great, simply point out, if I could buy four bags of groceries 2 years ago with a $100 bill, but today I can only get three with that $100 bill, how the economy is doing so great.
Well,
I want to know.
Well, you know, one of the most fascinating things, if you see how they put together the inflation index, or the price index, and what they do is they take out food, and they take out energy, and they take out hospital costs, and they take out housing costs, and they take out everything that's going up, and they leave in the things like the things you're getting from China, you know, or imports that are not going up, and they use those to determine whether or not there's inflation. And you know, there's the old adage that figures don't lie, but liars figure. And they know how to create our perception. And when they tell you that the inflation rate is 2.5% or maybe even 3%, why, they're simply not telling you the truth. But why should you be surprised when the government and government agencies lie? Because it's all a matter of perception. If they can convince you there's no inflation, then they can convince you just to keep going along as you are, and the good times are going to continue rolling.
Just like the Dow Jones, if it's looking too bad on a particular stock, we don't want that average to do bad, so we'll get rid of that one and bring in a heavy hitter so that the dollar average looks better. I've got an article that I saw that I kind of brought in more for the humorous aspect. In a way, it's almost painful to talk about it, but this is from CNN Money as well, and they've got the segment called Ask the Expert I think the guy's name is Walter Updegrave, and the question that was coming in was this. I have a stock that I own in an IRA account that has essentially become worthless. I understand that you can take a loss for worthless stock in a regular account, but do I qualify for any kind of a tax break if it's held in my IRA? The painful part of this is the headline says the bright side of worthless stock. And I thought to myself, give me the bright side of worthless stock if you will. So I read further, and they talked about the fact that, you know, can I get this deduction? Well, in fact, the chances of you getting a deduction on a loss for a worthless security are pretty small if you hold the stock in an IRA account. My advice to people with that situation certainly is if you absolutely insist on an IRA account, you're still better off holding gold coins. You can only put bullion in there, so it's confiscatable at the rate of $42.22 an ounce. More on that some other time. But I think that if nothing else, if you say to yourself, well, I absolutely am going to insist on owning an IRA, and I swap it into gold coins, at least I know that that can't become worthless like an Enron stock that might be in that IRA. So, again, you look at that headline of the bright side of a worthless stock, and I about, you know, split a side laughing at that headline, but it's, you know, it's almost a painful thing to go into it, reading that this is somebody who actually has an IRA, this is a retirement account, and they've got stocks in that retirement account that have become essentially worthless, so there went part of that retirement.
Now, what about silver? What do you think about investing in silver at this time?
Well, I think silver might be, as far as the future goes, I think silver could eventually end up being something that people could make money on, but you have to rely on basically a really strong positive economy because it's an industrial metal. So again, when we don't have a positive outlook for industry, we don't really necessarily have a positive outlook for silver either. And one of the things that people have asked me is when it comes down to protecting the value of my buying power, if that's what my main issue is, then silver is not a very good thing at all. And one of the things that we can point to is the recent numbers that came out for GDP looking extremely bad, talking about industry being very, very poor as far as what's in the future. And, of course, right after that report came out, silver dropped about 50 cents an ounce. It dropped over a dollar since then, which is basically about one-eighth of what it was. And that's a pretty significant drop. Not that that's for people holding silver, it's the panic move, but it points out very strongly that people who are sitting on silver, it's not necessarily a very good thing to sit on if you're trying to protect your value, because you're now relying on industry to do something, and we can't necessarily rely on it. If you're looking at having silver for barter, again, I can only point out to this thing, it's never a bad idea to have a little bit of silver. I think that if you own, you know, a full bag of junk silver, that's getting into the ridiculous realm of how much to own, simply because that's a 55-pound amount of silver, and if, you know, you ever have to get around with that, that's a 55-pound weight in a backpack for you that you're carrying around. If they're bartering with silver and you need more silver, you can always exchange gold for silver, just like you could exchange gold for food or anything else. So again, I have some, but very little. I put the majority of what I have liquid into gold coins simply because they're private, they're liquid, they're portable, and they hold their value constant.
Well, how about investing in things like gold and silver stocks?
That's, again, something that I think you could do very well in, especially if you're looking at the profit angle of this. If you're saying to yourself, well, I'm a speculator and I'm a profit seeker and I really want to do something that I might be able to make a buck on, then I think gold stocks might do well as we start moving into this run and we start to see the gold prices really begin to ratchet up. The recent Gold Council in New York just convened, and they said they expected in the next few months, even, or in the next coming months, they basically stated that they expect gold to break its previous high of 850. Well, if that's the case, then of course you're going to see those mines really start to profit on what they've done with these as they've ratcheted their production levels up, and they're going to start seeing some really solid profits, so you might do well on those. I think at that point, of course, you'll do well owning physical possession gold at your house as well, and to me, that's always a little bit better of an idea because, again, I've got it in my hands. I'm not having to rely on somebody else, and it's not coming back to me in the form of paper. It's something that I've got that's physical possession. But again, if you're a speculator, not a bad move, not a bad place to be. I think it's better than being in some of the riskier stocks in the stock market that don't have anything solid tied to them, like this, you know, basic run in gold. We've got, like I said, a 70% increase now over the course of the last 5 years. That's pretty solid numbers.
Well, what about platinum? Something of that sort.
Platinum, again, same thing with silver. It's industrial, so it's one of those things where, you know, like palladium. Palladium could be very strong too. It's really well priced value. I think today it closed at about 186 an ounce for palladium, and I've seen palladium, you know, into orbit. So again, it's something that you might be able to look to the long-term future and say, if we get through this next bubble collapse and we get into a really strong positive economy again and we start to see industry on the upswing, then again, platinum, palladium, silver, all of those industrial metals will probably do very well. I think platinum's a bit overpriced right now, comparative to where that could go in the future should industry get strong. I think palladium would be a stronger move there.
Well, is it legal to own U.S. gold, eagles, and bullion coins in an IRA account?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
And the nice thing about it, of course, is, like I point out, is, you know, unlike this worthless stock that showed up here in this person's account, that can't happen with gold in your IRA. And again, if it comes on down to people looking for information about, you know, how to protect that money in your IRA, even if it's talking about putting the gold coins in there, we can certainly talk to you about that at will. So feel free to call us at any time and just say, hey, you know, I do have an IRA, and I am a little bit nervous about the money that's in there, and it isn't paying me very good right now, and what should I be doing to protect that? And again, we'll give information and send out information to folks on that very subject. All they have to do is call us toll-free.
Well,
the number, again, is 1-800-685-4042.
Give them a number one more time?
Sure, Stan. It's 1-800-685-4042.
Well, now, one of our callers just called in, didn't want to go on the air, but he asked about these exchange-traded funds, symbol GLD. In other words, they're going to buy gold and they're going to hold it. What about that? Is that a good idea, or is that something you might be worried about?
It's something I worry about. And again, first off, if it's talking about somebody that's holding, there's a couple of different ways that you want to look at it. One is, if we're holding gold in somebody else's fund or somebody else's account, if it's something that I can ever have access to, physical possession access, I mean actually put gold in my hands, and it comes down to some type of an economic collapse, and I say, gee, I really want that now, can I rely on somebody else to cough up with the physical possession gold? No, not necessarily. If I'm having it, you know, leveraged in some type of a fund, I think that's extremely dangerous, and I'm hearing a lot of people who are actually doing that right now because they're seeing that increase in gold and they're getting sucked into the speculative aspects of it. But again, I always come down, number one for me is physical possession gold ownership. because if it comes down to an economic collapse and there's anarchy, I've got my gold and my wealth right here with me, and it's something that I have that's valuable that I can trade for any commodity out there, whether it be a good or a service that my family needs in this economic upheaval time. If it comes down to nothing happening like that, well, as I mentioned, I'm a dad. I've got kids. My wealth is now protected, it's now private, and it's something that if I never need, economically speaking, whether it be just a hardship for my family or an economic hardship for the country that I need to use the coins for, then it's something I simply pass down to my kids, and the appreciation on it over the years has been phenomenal, as well as the fact that it's private.
Now, what about the, would you rather have the 1 ounce gold coins or the quarter ounce or the 10th ounce?
I usually go for a mix. I mean, if we're going for the IRA coins, then of course you'll only get the 1 ounce coins because you get the most amount of gold for your dollar. But I've got a mix in my portfolio of denominational coins. I've got mostly quarter ounce and half ounce coins because I think they'll be a little bit easier to barter with if it comes to that. And they're smaller. They're easier to hide as well.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment. And we will welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We're just wrapping up this evening's program here with Michael Trudeau of Colonial Resources. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, this is the last segment of our program, and we put Michael on about one time a month, mainly because we hope that people out there will begin making arrangements to be secure. I think most people are going to get trapped as the whole financial basis of our country begins to crumble. And certainly when we find that Paul Volcker, talking about a financial crisis, when we find people like Stephen Rhodes of Morgan Stanley talking about a financial crisis, I think we ought to listen to what they say. And when I find that certainly that people like Warren Buffett are investing in investing in futures overseas, betting against the dollar. And of course, Warren Buffett's probably taken a terrible beating in this last three or four or five months as the dollar actually has been strengthening, and yet he's holding his position. Why, I think maybe he knows something we don't. What are your thoughts on that? You know, we see Warren Buffett investing overseas, investing, shorting the dollar, and the dollar's going up. He must have lost a lot of money.
Right, and again, you've pointed it out, and again, it might sound like a tired cliche at this point of you hitting the nail right on the head, but here's a guy out there who's one of the smartest investors there is, who certainly understands economics better than most, and is standing very strong in his position right now, shorting that currency, and he knows something we don't. Or he knows something that the general public doesn't. I think that the majority of the listeners in your audience certainly know, I think, probably pretty much as Warren Buffett does. Because Buffett's not a dummy, he's doing it the right way. He looks at what's happening and says, this is bad, the dollar is going to take a dive. And I'm going to make myself very wealthy by holding my position right now. And, you know, I've an interesting, you know, footnote to this conversation that is, I was talking to a friend of mine who's about, he's got about a decade on me, he's about 52. And I said, you know, what have you done for your retirement? Because, I mean, you know, you're kind of getting up there to that point. And what have you got going on for your pension? You know, have you got a pension? Do you got any 401k money? What do you have going on? And this individual came back and said, no, I really don't have much going on besides Social Security. I'll just kind of keep working right through my retirement. And I thought to myself, you know, you'll keep working right through your retirement. Well, my partner John Pisciano and I eat out a lot. And we've talked about this between us that we're noticing, and I don't mean to you know, scrutinize this too much, but we're noticing a lot of other waitresses out there who are coming back that are in their, you know, late 60s, early 70s. And I'm thinking to myself, now, this isn't something that this woman is doing because she wants to have, you know, something to do in the afternoons. It looks to me, and we talked about the fact that it's probably because Social Security isn't cutting it, and they actually are forced into a position where they have to come back and take a job that's pretty physically demanding when we talk about being a food server. So I'm kind of running through some articles today, and I'm finding one that's
hold
talking
that thought
about
there for just, hold that thought for just a moment here as we bring our stations back on. Okay, well, Michael was just saying that a lot of people are not making preparations for the retirement. They're not putting money aside for when they are no longer want to work. And he was commenting about going out and eating with his friend who's in business with him and noticing how many older women are working as waitresses in some of the eating places they go to. Why don't you finish up that thought?
Well, Matt? Right. And so I did a little bit of research on that, and it's talking about the fact that the baby boomers kind of really are under the impression that they can continue to work right after retirement. So really the issue of, you know, Social Security money not really being there, and I don't really have a pension, and, you know, no 401k, I'm really going to be fine because I can keep working. And the article that I found went on to talk, this is a CNN Money Magazine article that went on, by the way, to talk about the fact that roughly 8 in 10 baby boomers report that they plan to keep working in some capacity after leaving their regular jobs. The problem with that is when you're asking, and I'm talking to this friend of mine who is, like, you know, a pretty strong individual, no question that they're certainly physically capable of anything I am, saying that, yeah, I'm going to plan on doing that. And I'm thinking, yeah, but can you continue on with that? Well, this article touched on that, too, and said that they didn't believe that healthy 40- and 50-year-olds in the prime of their careers could accurately predict whether they would still want to, let alone be able to work, when they're 65 or 70. And then it went on to say expectation meet reality. Only 26% of current retirees have worked for pay at any time during retirement, and almost half of those don't work anymore because they're not healthy enough or feel that they're too old. And, I mean, you know, if you talk to some of the folks out there, and I know plenty of people who are in their late 60s, 70s, even 80s, who are plenty strong enough to do plenty of jobs, but would certainly come back and tell you that, hey, if I didn't have to, I certainly wouldn't do it if it wasn't a matter of survival, because it's a physical strain, obviously.
That's true.
I think a lot of people who are planning on that as a part of their future are making a big mistake because, again, this article points out you can't predict what position you're going to be in when you're 65 or 70 years old physically. I think the advice today is simply work hard now while you can. Save money, that's the key, and you've pointed that out through this discussion, Dr. Stan, many times tonight. Save money is the key, and protect its purchasing power.
Amen to that. Well, Michael, thank you so very much for being with us. Your telephone number and your website one more time.
Sure. The phone number is toll-free, 1-800-685-4042, or visit the website for more information on it. It's colonialresources.com.
Good night, and God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stan.
Okay, fine. That was Michael Trudeau, and this is the point I just want to mention. We do have a talk I gave on money. It's called The Coming Financial Crisis. And if you would like to know more about that, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We put together a pamphlet. Well, it's about a 50-page pamphlet. It's called A History of Money. And unless you understand the history of money and the fiat money system, and you understand the occult forces that are behind this, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are occult forces behind just about everything going on in the world today. A History of Money you'll find fascinating. It's our three of our newsletters we put together in a pamphlet form, and we hope you'll enjoy reading it, and why, we hope you want to get it to lots of other people. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to know more, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter. And our latest newsletter is The Occult Hierarchy, Part 2. And it takes you into the most incredible information that, well, I will tell you, you'll never read this any other place. It takes you into a very high government official who is recruited into government service and into a whole different form of life, where he met what he calls extraordinary people, and these were people who were involved with the other dimension. They were, and of course, some of these people have a tremendous influence on everything going on in America today. The July newsletter. It's entitled Occult Hierarchy Part 2. And I promise you, you'll never look at the world quite the same again after you've read it. If you'd like a free copy of Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Or if you have access to the Internet, go to our website at radioliberty.com and look for the June newsletter. That's the June newsletter. I'm working on the July newsletter now, but you'll want to get the June newsletter. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we'll be back here in just a moment or two for the next hour of Radio Liberty.
fishy skies for amber waves of grace.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Philip Beckwith. We're going to be talking about CAFTA. We're going to be talking about the Codex Alimentarius. We're going to be talking about the importance of your having access to food supplements to maintain your health. Now, if you look and see what's happening in the world, why, there's hardly a week goes by, there's not one or two articles in your local newspaper about the threat, the potential threat of a worldwide pandemic from the bird flu or influenza or something of the sort, and they keep telling us about all the millions of people, 20 million, 30 million, 40 million, 50 million people who died back in 1918 as a result of the Spanish flu, and they keep telling us over and over again that we really have to be concerned about a resurgence of this. In fact, there's articles in Foreign Affairs magazine, which is published by the Invisible Government, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the July-August edition of Foreign Affairs magazine this year has the three leading articles about the coming pandemic. And the second article by Dr. Osterholm, who is the world's leading expert on this, talks about the pandemic, and not if it's going to come, but when it's going to come, and talks about the total breakdown in society and the delivery of food, and lays out a pretty bleak idea, concept that we face very real problems from a global pandemic. And then, of course, what will we do to protect ourselves? Well, I was reading today about Tamiflu, which is this so-called miracle drug put out by Roche, called $7 a tablet, and reading their prophylactics. You've got to take one of those $7 tablets every day for 42 days. That's about $300. And it cuts down the incidence of the influenza from 4% to about 1%. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I think the most important thing any of us can do if there is to be a pandemic would be to have maximum immunity, and you do that by building up your immune system, and this is what I was told by Dr. Ken Alibek, the number two man in the Soviet biowarfare system who defected to the United States, who told me there's no way you can vaccinate people for all the possible lethal diseases that could be spread. He wasn't talking specifically about a global pandemic of a bird flu, but he says you can't immunize people against all the potential diseases that are out there, or that become so allergic that they won't be able to live with themselves. And we see this in so many of our people who've been in the military, who have asthma and who have multiple allergies as a direct result of their immunizations, which are given to prime people's immune system and suddenly became immune not only to diseases but to just about everything else. Well, certainly basic food substances and food supplements can help to build up your immune system and ward off disease. But now they've come up with a new concept. They want to get CAFTA through, the Central American Free Trade Zone, and with the Central American Free Trade Zone will come something called Codex Alimentarius, which will give the government the ability to regulate what we can buy in the way of food supplements and how much can be in the capsules, and really make it so expensive that, well, it may be almost as expensive as Tamiflu down the line. Going to cost you $300 just to protect yourself from the flu. I wonder how many of you are willing to put out $300 to cut your incidence of influenza down from 4% to 1%. Well, with that as the background, Philip, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, for having me back on. It's wonderful.
Hold that line. We'll be back here in just a moment with Philip Beckwith, and I'm going to be quiet and let him talk a little bit here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Philip, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners and pick up the story there?
Well,
Well, thank you very much. I am with the Coalition for Health Freedom, which is an organization which was born at a meeting in Washington in April. A group of people were invited by the American Association for Health Freedom to come together to discuss the threat of Codex, because it had reached a peak. And as you probably know, Codex was ratified in July the 4th of all dates for supplements. The dreaded guidelines have been passed.
Now, could you tell our listeners what Codex is and where this was ratified?
Right. Well, it was ratified in Rome, and they've been working on these guidelines for over 10 years, actually much longer, actually. They are trying to arrive at standards, food standards across the world for the everything to do with the manufacture of food and the distribution of food. It's not just supplements, it's everything to do with food. So it's the biggest set of food rules ever devised in the history of the world. And they are an unaccountable bureaucracy. Certainly our experience of the particular committee that deal with supplements is run in a very dictatorial manner. You have 163 countries involved, a lot of them are just there, invited from some of the poorer countries to go on a junket. There's a European fund there to transport them out there, and the countries are unevenly represented. And they're kind of like the FDA from every country. The United States delegation is represented by the FDA, and that only one person can speak, and that's the FDA. Other people can join in, but they don't get to say anything. And they're called a vote, but actually nobody gets the vote in Codex. The chairman decides what the consensus of the meeting is, which is rather strange and rather desperate with what they've come up with. And the U.S. only has one voice there, like Slovenia or Hungary or any country. So the EU has a disproportionate influence for a start, just because it has 25 countries in it now.
Now, why should we have an international agency determine what food substances and what food supplements we should eat and our access to things that might be responsible for our health? Certainly the World Health Organization is not doing a very good job with the health of the people of the rest of the world. Why should we want to let them influence what's going on here?
Well, absolutely. Well, in fact, the World Health Organization is in fact the parent body to Codex, and it's a very mixed organization.
Hold that thought right there.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest this evening is Philip Beckwith, who's with a health organization that was formed by people who are concerned about Codex. And basically what Codex is, it is an international organization put together under the auspices of the International United Nations, and it is going to determine everything about food. They have probably representatives from every country in the world, and I suspect that many of these people, who knows whether they're on the payroll of the drug companies, which really want to limit our ability to have access to food supplements and vitamins and herbs and things of that sort. And anything we get is supposed to come through the drug companies, which are making fabulous profits, selling us many times things that are harmful. And now in this instance, they're trying to keep us from getting things that are beneficial. So let's get a little bit into the background of this meeting. It was held on July 4th. They came up with a program. It was in Rome, and they agreed on the amounts of vitamins that could be in capsules. So what did they basically come up with?
Well, they've been working on this, as I say, for years and years. And it's been very contentious. The U.S. does have a wonderful NGO, non-governmental organization body that actually speaks for you, the consumer. That's the National Health Federation, and they've been following this, and you can read on our website wonderful, ironic articles that they write, basically documenting everything that's been happening. And they have actually spoken up for the consumer, and they tried to stop the guidelines from being passed on July the 4th, but actually there was nothing they could do. It was a technicality. China brought up some issues. Australia brought up some issues, hoping that every country that classifies supplements as a drug would be excluded from the guidelines. And they think that they might have won a victory that doesn't mean very much, actually, because the whole of this is tied in with the World Trade Organization. So really, these guidelines started out as pretty innocuous things many, many years ago. The whole thing was founded in 1961, actually. It goes way back. And it just started out as a vague setting of guidelines and standards for world trade and basically trying to make sure there were certain standards. Because they have rules about washing strawberries, beef, packaging, you name it, they've come up with it. It's a bureaucracy gone crazy. But they were all, and they still say that all these things are optional and they're flexible and each country can apply them how they want to.
So like the voluntary income tax we have in this country.
Right, exactly. So it's they're talking literally out of both sides of their mouths, because in the November meeting, which was the final committee meeting of the supplements before they were ratified in the summer, they were asked, and some of us spent a great deal of time writing to delegates and, you know, trying to get questions asked on the floor, which is very hard to do, and they did actually succeed. We asked, could not the word optional be actually written into the text of these guidelines? And they said, it's not necessary. You don't need that. And they actually, lied, basically, pointing to a gentleman who said this, about which organization he was actually from. He was from the FAO and not Codex, but so the U.S. delegate said, well, since he's from the FAO, I'll go along with it. But he was from Codex.
Well, I think what people have to understand is that politicians lie. They've lied to the people of Europe, telling them the European Union was only had to do with economics. And before they knew it, suddenly they were moving towards a unified currency, towards a unified government, towards the loss of all representative government, which is why the people of Europe, certainly in France, and I believe it was in the Netherlands, voted against the EU constitution because they'd been lied to. And I believe they're lying to us about Codex. But where this comes into CAFTA is that there is this Central American Free Trade Zone treaty that the Bush administration and the leaders of the Democrat Party want to get through. Why? Because it destroys the sovereignty of our country, which is what they want. That's why they have the open borders. They want, of course, to destroy the sovereignty of our nation and begin emerging a step by step into a unified Western Hemisphere, beginning, of course, with the Northern Hemisphere and then spreading into the Southern Hemisphere, and then, of course, be able to eventually emerge into this one world government with a loss of all freedom, because there are people who have a different worldview. They believe we need an autocratic world government. They believe we need a ruling elite, because us common folks aren't smart enough to know anything that's good for us. But CAFTA is a stepping stone along that way. And intertwined within the 100,000 pages of this so-called free trade treaty. Why do you need 1,000 pages for free trade? Because it has nothing to do with free trade. It has to do with control and regulation. And first in that, someplace, are the stipulations that are going to bring Codex, at least the potential for Codex, as the law of the United States. And certainly it can be under the terms of CAFTA, and then we become subservient to world law. And after all, we're a nation of laws, aren't we? And if it's the world law, we have to obey it, don't we? And yet, of course, what they're doing is progressively eroding our freedom. Would that be a fair statement, Philip?
You said it absolutely right, Dr. Stan, and it sounds like we're in a topsy-turvy world, woken up in a sort of a strange, almost a nightmare. But I'm afraid everything you said is true. It's absolutely there in black and white. The CAFTA agreement, you know, what has it got to do with my health store? Well, as you say, there are 1,000 pages of fine print in this treaty which give away all kinds of practical rights over your country's control over immigration, what supplements you take, and a whole, you know, labor rights, environmental rights. Because all this is under the World Trade Organization, it is a completely new world, and the World Trade Organization has already ruled against the United States in 42 out of 48 cases. All the intangibles, like environmental rights, labor rights, they're completely disregarded, no matter what is put or said about the treaty when they're trying to get it passed. Right now, they're just trying to make it out as the best thing that's ever happened. But actually, if you wanted simple regional trade, you would actually go about things very, very differently. You wouldn't need 1,000 pages. Free trade is a simple concept. And 1,000 pages which would actually result in the banning of thousands of safe products? I don't think so. There's nothing free about it. There's Congressman Ron Paul at one end of the spectrum, and Congressman Peter DeFazio at the other end of the spectrum, and many other congressmen are very concerned about. It is a ridiculous situation. And CAFTA, luckily, begins with C, rather like Codex. We say CAFTA and Codex. We link the two together because under the World Trade Organization, we are now vulnerable to this bureaucracy that's been cooked up in Europe. Now, it's not the same as the European Union, but it's heavily influenced by it. So it's ultimately the same group of people that is behind it. And we need to be very, very vigilant. And basically, it's a cage door that will be slammed shut this summer if CAFTA is passed. There's no doubt about that. So far, we've found that these treaties are irreversible. The World Trade Organization that America joined in 1995, NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, and now CAFTA, they don't seem to get reversed or annulled once they're passed. So every 5 years, Ron Paul and others ask that the United States consider withdrawing from the WTO, but they've just renewed for another 5 years in May, a few weeks ago. So it is a very serious situation that people need to be aware of, because they can stop it now. CAFTA is in trouble. It couldn't be better for our particular issue, because CAFTA is really struggling in the last chamber that it has to get through. It's struggling in the House of Representatives.
Now, let me just point out that it's passed the Senate. It is in the House. They wanted to bring it up a week ago. They did not have the votes because there's tremendous pressure against it. You're not hearing about this through the regular media, but people are calling to their congressmen. The congressmen are listening to them. Now, they're doing everything they can to bribe and to threaten and to cajole and to break the arms of the congressmen there. Totally in violation of the idea of representative government. We're to be ruled by the people, not by the elite, but the elites have an agenda. The reason we are not enforcing our immigration controls is because they want open borders. That's one of the contingencies of CAFTA. And George Bush has betrayed his responsibility, a treasonous act, leaving our borders open intentionally. Of course, Bill Clinton did the same thing because the leaders of both political parties are dedicated to this. But right now, if enough people will call their congressmen and keep calling them and emailing them and faxing them and calling them and emailing them and faxing them, why, if this comes to a vote, and they're going to have to bring it to a vote fairly soon because they think they have a recess at the end of August or the 1st of September. If we can keep this thing from getting passed, it will be one of the greatest victories we ever made. And it can be done if you're out there in the listening audience and you really care about your future and your freedom and your family. So the plea is call your congressman, email your congressman, fax your congressman, and do it every single day until either this comes to a vote and we've lost, or until we've come to a vote and it's been voted down. And believe me, the other side doesn't want to bring it to a vote because they've counted the votes and they know that there's tremendous resistance from the American people, and they don't care what the American people want. The rulers of this country, the people who control both political parties and the corporations and the foundations and the media, the so-called invisible government, the establishment, coordinated by the Council on Foreign Relations, they have an agenda, a new world order, a new world religion, a new world currency, and the enslavement of the people. Well, here's a chance for you to do something. Here's a chance for you to make a difference. And so our plea to you out there, and I know it would be Philip's plea as well, is please, first thing in the morning, start calling, start emailing, start faxing. Do not write letters. They're afraid to open the letters because of the threat of anthrax. So you're far better off to do alternative means of contacting them. And you can do that day after day after day. Believe me, the other side is doing it. But there are not very many people on the other side. Most people value freedom. They want to maintain our sovereignty. There's only a small group of traitors who have sworn allegiance to this country and are betraying the oath that they've sworn. We'll be right back in just a moment with Philip Beckwith. Well, Philip, go ahead. How do things look now? Do we have any idea? Have they been able to bribe enough congressmen to get the legislation through?
Well, it's a real cliffhanger. It really is. They have had much more trouble than they thought. In fact, some of the congressmen were insulted by the level of lobbying that went on. There's been arm twisting. First of all, they start out with the bribery, and there's a whole stream of people with $1,000 watches and incredibly expensive suits and shoes showing up trying to impress the congressmen, and a lot of them are from, guess what, the pharmaceutical industry and agribusiness, and they are swarming over Capitol Hill. There's two pharmaceutical lobbyists now for every congressman, by the way. They've sort of doubled in the last 4 years. It's got even worse. And we've got to realize just how powerful these corporations are now. They're global.
But aren't they working right along with the administration? Because the Bush administration has to get this thing through.
They do. It's one of their priorities, absolutely.
I mean, the betrayal of the sovereignty of America is one of the major objectives of the Bush administration.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is very serious. That's why this 1,000 pages is in there. It's not in the news. It's hardly on any of the media whatsoever. And this is going to affect people's lives far more than many of the things that are in the news. And people have to realize this. And there's a lot of horse trading going on for votes at the moment. In one ear, as you say, we have people with their faxes and calling out the labor unions, people with our issue. And on the other side, they have the big money and the lobbyists, and they're being pulled. And the horse trading for votes, they're going to do possibly a vote to toughen up on China, supposedly, next week, which will buy enough votes to get it through. But as I say, they are short of a few votes, and if we have enough people, it could not be better, because win or lose, at least we get Codex as an issue in front of congressmen, because believe it or not, many congressmen have never heard of Codex. They've never heard of it. And there's this huge, and it's going to be the biggest bureaucracy in the world that affects the world food supply, and if you control the world's food supply, you control the world, and they've never heard of it. So we're saying you might want to let them know about it in a hurry, and people are, but very, very few have heard of this because it's outside the media. That we're creating a firestorm in our little community of people who really understand the benefits of medicine, of natural medicine. And this is the beauty. We're trying to keep hold of the incredible progress that has been made in the last decade since we had the Deshaies Act passed, which is what your health store operates underneath. And it took 2.5 million people to get this act passed. More people got involved than on any issue since Vietnam. And we're saying we're going to need many more again to keep that act, which is indeed severely in danger. People keep telling us, oh, it's safe. Codex stops at the borders of the U.S. I've heard senators say this. They are absolutely wrong.
And they've been wrong on so many things in the past. The average congressman and the average senator really doesn't know what's going on. And their aides many times simply lie to them. Congressman Paul, however, has written, and just today he put out an article on Codex, the dangers that it has. And you can go to his website, Congressman Ron Paul, and look at his article on Codex, get this information, and help us to get it out across America. And we're going to be back here in just a moment, here with our special guest this evening, Philip Beckwith, as we're talking about something that threatens the lives of everybody in the listening audience today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking about Codex. We're talking about the CAFTA vote, because the two of them go together, and of course, tucked into the 1,000 pages of fine print in CAFTA is Codex. So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question, a comment, or would like to know what you're thinking, but I hope that you are calling, and I hope that you are faxing, and I hope that you are emailing your congressman. This is something where we can really make a difference. Philip, what sort of response are you getting? Because I know you're doing a lot of talk radio.
Well, yes, we are, as I say, within the community that is listening to this kind of radio, and the people who are plugged in to alternative media and the internet. This is a big story, and it's extraordinary, the disconnect. between our world and the general world of the media. And we're actually trying to stop one major doctor who doesn't know anything about this issue going forward and just making a fool of himself by talking about this and angering all the health freedom groups, because people tend to want to just say anything that comes into their head on this issue. We're also dealing with the U.S. Trade Representative that is pushing CAFTA. They put out something saying that this is not an issue. Of course they would, and we have drafted something that shoots that down, because that's what's circulating around congressmen, and we are really dependent on people's calls to make sure that they really do realize that this is a huge issue. And people are calling, and it is very good, but it's not enough. We need many, many more to make this a third rail issue.
But I think the important thing is CAFTA is wrong. I mean, Codex is important, but CAFTA is wrong. Codex will impact on you. They says, well, it doesn't. They've lied about everything. I mean, they lied. You remember when they said Medicare is completely fiscally responsible? It's only going to cost $9 billion a year by the year 2000. Came in 1965. It's only going to cost $9 billion in the year 1990, and I think it cost about $90 billion. Now they're looking at literally hundreds of billions of dollars a year. It's going to eventually bankrupt America, and they have lied at every turn. They've said that there is a Social Security fund. There is no Social Security fund. They said we went to war with Iraq because there were weapons of mass destruction, or because Saddam Hussein was working with Al-Qaeda, or Saddam Hussein was responsible for 9/11, or Saddam Hussein was the nasty fellow. Well, that was the only thing they said that was true. Everything that we've been told is a lie. And if they tell you that that they cannot get Codex in with CAFTA, you tell them that to give you a written guarantee. They'll give you $1 million if it does, and of course they'll run for cover, because they certainly, nobody's going to tell you for certain. They can argue all they want to, but if they're within the provisions of that, according to Ron Paul, is the capability to bring Codex into America. So we have to get the information out. And no matter what people tell you, they do not tell the truth. And once you understand that people lie, it's much easier to understand so much of what's going on today. And when you hear Karl Rove tell you why I never talk to an attorney, to a reporter about the CIA agent now, well, I talked to him, but they told me that she was a CIA agent, and I just said I agreed with them, or that I'd heard it elsewhere, or something of the sort. And you know they're all lying. But they can't let the American people realize that we have in America today people who have a different agenda, who have a different worldview, who put no value at all on the truth. And, of course, there is a right, there is a wrong. We are all answerable to God. But these people do not believe in the God of the Bible. And so it's perfectly all right for them to lie and to cheat and to steal, yes, and even to murder. So if you understand that, why you have to stand on righteousness, and you have to tell people, and you have to call your congressman and email your congressman and fax your congressman and say, vote against CAFTA. And they want to argue about Codex. Say, look, this has to do with American sovereignty. It has to do with the integrity of American borders. It has to do with, the continued economic prosperity of the United States. You told us that we would be more prosperous if we passed NAFTA, and you lied. You told us that we would have all those people in China to sell goods to if we just passed the World Trade Organization. Well, there are people over there that are doing a lot better now. That's because they've got our jobs over there. So do not let them sell you another bill of goods. And this is the great tragedy. Is they're trying to get CAFTA through. You're not reading about it in the newspaper. Your attention is being diverted to Iraq and many other issues in Karl Rove, as we're losing our freedom. CAFTA is one of the most important things that's come up in a long period of time. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'd love to know what you think of this. We want to know if you're going to help Philip, if you want to help Radio Liberty, you're going to help America try to save this country. Well, Philip, do we have any idea how many congressmen that are still on our side, and how many have been able to get to go to the other side? Where do we stand?
Somebody was telling me about that today. We think that only 10 Democrats are going to vote for it, and maybe 30 or 40 of the Republicans are not going to vote for it. So when you add up the numbers, they could be anything from 15 to 5 votes short. And so with the arm twisting that goes on, it gets razor thin. I mean, a month ago it was within one vote. So people are having an effect, but all kinds of factors come into this. But what I'm saying is that within our particular area, we are getting the word out. And I want to tell you that Dr. Nick Gonzalez, who is from New York, has published something amazing. He's a prestigious doctor who's turned to nutrition to help his patients. And he has, he's been given awards, and, he has written to the Congress, and he has said that his patients, if CAFTA passes, his patients will stage a die-in. They will go into congressmen's offices and not leave until they died of cancer. This is his cancer patients. So just to let you know how serious this is, folks, I come from a country, as you probably guess, I come from the UK originally. I live in the United States now. My country, we had 1 million signatures trying to save supplements, and we went to the government, and we said, we do not want the European Food Supplement Directive, which is going to take 5,000 products off the shelf. And the government turned around and they said, sorry, chum, too late. We've joined the European Union. We did the best we could. We did the best negotiation we could. But actually, this is not, a priority. And we're in this large echo chamber now. And there's nothing we can do about it.
All right, well, let's go to Ben, who's calling from New York. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. Nice talking to you again. I'd like to see if your guest or yourself could give a brief explanation what CODEX stands for.
Could you go ahead and explain what CODEX is?
Sure. It's basically a set of food rules. Codex Alimentarius means food code. And it's basically a set of rules to govern the manufacturing and the distribution of food, every kind of food you can consider. And it's really for free trade, so-called, so that if one country is trading with another, that you have a set of agreed standards, so you're not getting a set of rotten tomatoes.
Now hold that thought there for just a moment. Okay, this is Dr. Stan. We have got Ben calling from New York, and he asked, what is CODEX? And of course, answer was that this is codify certain agreements having to do with food and food supplements. Go ahead, Philip.
Yeah, and basically it sounds like a good idea, and in some ways it is a good idea. Unfortunately, the people making the rules, which are going to literally determine what food is going to be on the shelves in the future and how it's made and arrived at, and whether what the standard of organic food is and how many pills are you going to have in a supplement bottle and all of that, that is determined by governments who are heavily influenced by big business. And really, these decisions are made in the boardroom of large corporations.
And, of course, what it will do is a number of milligrams of vitamin C that can be in a capsule, the number of units of vitamin E that can be in a capsule, and, of course, if they can, of course, get them less the vitamin C, you're going to have to buy more vitamin C capsules. And then they can actually take things off the market. They're not taking the things off the market that are poisonous. They're restricting your access to things that are good for you, like vitamin C and vitamin E and other things, and making it so difficult for you to get adequate amounts of it that, it's a lot of people just aren't going to go to all the trouble. And what it is really limiting our ability to do what we think is right for our health, and putting our health in the hands of people who I believe have a different agenda.
Correct.
Anything else, Ben?
Yes, Dr. Stan, one thing that I also wanted to let you know was about a week ago I received a call from a company out in Florida, and they basically wanted to know a few things here with my household. And I answered a few questions. Then all of a sudden, they sent me a whole package, and they wanted me to spend some time answering them, for instance, what I would eat, what TV I would listen, the radio station, a whole array of things. And I became paranoid, and I sent it back to them. I told them, you know, this is going too far, it's too much. I don't want you to control my life the way that I'm thinking and seeing that you want to control. So all of this is something that we all have to be concerned and worried about.
I agree with it totally, Ben, and I hope you'll put in some calls and send some emails and faxes. We need to stop, and it's called CAFSA, okay?
Yes,
thank you so much. Let's go to Tom calling from Ohio. Tom, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I want to know how lengthy a CAFTA, what do you call it, documents?
A CAFTA?
Yeah, how many pages?
1,000 pages.
1,000 pages?
Right.
If I call a Capitol Hill number, will they send me a summary copy?
I don't think so. Philip, how can he get a copy of
If you have the internet, you can go to our website, and we have a link to it there, and we have a lot of information on our website. That's the first thing. I'll just give the address out. It's www.coalitionforhealthfreedom.org. That's coalitionforhealthfreedom.org, all one word, and no numbers in it. And it's got a documentary in it that I hope you will watch. If you have broadband internet, you can watch it for free. You just click on it. It's 28 minutes long, and you can show it to all your friends and relatives who need to be brought up to speed on this. And it has a dramatic impact. One of our members took it to British Columbia, and they went in front of an Indian tribe yesterday, and they showed it, and the tribe declared war on Codex. It was wonderful.
Okay, fine. Anything else?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I was in the Union Hall office today, and I happened to hear that, they sent a bunch of our mold injection machines down to Chihuahua, Mexico, and then Ford and GM said they don't want any more parts, auto parts from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've got, they're dragging people out of retirement, paying them $40 an hour. To go down there and help those people get our job cranked up down there for them. And now, you know what I told them? I said, I hope the bandits get them, peel their hide off, and nail it to a barnyard door. I'm telling you, it cleared the room.
Okay.
One went one out one door, one went to another door, and one got on the phone. I don't know if he was calling the police or what he was doing, but I was pretty hot about it. I let them have it.
I'm sure you understand that there is a conscious effort to undermine the fabric of our society and to get rid of our jobs and to impoverish our people. And you need to help get that information out, okay?
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. God bless.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to, is this Victor calling from Amsterdam?
Yes.
You have a question or comment?
I was wondering, Vice President Gore back in 1999 visited our area, and is Amsterdam an experimental city of all this, what's going on in the world? I mean, it's a very unique city, you might say, Amsterdam, New York.
You're Amsterdam. How is it unique?
Well, one thing, they built a bomb thing at FMCC for NASA.
Right.
And another thing, there's a St. Mary's Hospital there, a lot of suicides going on, and mental health system. And another thing, a lot of old people, and they put a lot of money into the system, and it's all service-oriented jobs here.
Okay, well, now, what was the point that you want to make?
Is this typical?
No, it doesn't sound very typical to me.
America's getting like to be a scary place to live in.
Well, I think it's about time we took America back, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And we're only going to do it when we can get people informed and understand there are people who have a different worldview, and they really don't believe in America. They want a one-world government and all the things that go with it. Philip, how would you respond to what Victor's saying?
Well, I think the mental health problem is very interesting. People must realize that we are proposing taking back health in every aspect. With the food supply and supplements, if it was brought back to organic food and people were given proper supplements, most of the drugs, and this is what it's all about, this is what they're frightened of, won't be necessary. people must realize that they're a cash cow for these people. They want to pump you through as many of these drugs as possible. And we've got 25% of school children on Ritalin, for example, which is just absurd. And Ritalin has been shown to be very harmful. It is not necessary if you have the right diet. Kids are on, you know, Cokes and fast food, and they don't see a vegetable from one end of the year to the other, and they don't get any exercise. And, you know, all this can be changed fairly easily, and this is what we're pushing for, but they're trying to make it impossible. And they are trying to take away the control we have over our lives, and we are in a sort of hypnotic state, most people are. I mean, they're just not being given the truth.
Well, I think it's very interesting that, you know, back in about 1909, one in about 35 people, something like that, had cancer. Cancer was relatively rare. Today, it's about one in three people, and soon it'll be one in two people. Why is that? Well, I believe, of course, there's been a very definite effort to do things that promote cancer. And if you can read my population control agenda monograph, you have to understand that water fluoridation increases the rate of cancer. Aspartame and MSG and soy products increase the incidence of cancer. Mercury compounds increase the incidence of cancer. Many of the pesticides, the MTBE, that the Congress mandated to be used in gasoline across America increases the incidence of cancer. First trimester abortion increases the incidence of cancer. And we could go right on down the line of all the things out there that are increasing the incidence of cancer. It's not happening by accident, Victor. I believe that there is truly a diabolical agenda in America, and it's about time the American people got the truth, and that's why I do what I do. Hey, thanks so much for calling. Anything else you wanted to say?
No, thank you very much.
God bless. And let's go to Roger calling from Allentown. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yes, thanks, gentlemen. I'd like to pass out the toll-free number to the Capitol Hill switchboard to fight this codex, and while they're grabbing their pencil, just mention that also the treaty compliance, among other lovely features, would require, was it $250,000 or $450,000 per ingredient in a given product, so they put a little pinch of vitamin E in, and they're expected to have to pay that. Oh, and that doesn't apply to other uses of vitamin E, only in that single product.
All right, fine. Well, let's get that telephone number.
Yeah, and it's 877-762-8762.
Give it one more time.
Repeat. 877-762-8762. And I heard a great idea should be popularized. Was one cancer doctor said that he was going to park if CAFTA passes, that he was going to park all his cancer patients on the offices of the congressman to die.
Now, well, that was Philip was just telling us that. And, of course, that number that Roger just put out was the toll-free number. That's right, Roger?
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that an awful lot of people are going to die if CAFTA passes. God bless. Thanks so much for calling.
God bless.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Our guest is Philip Beckwith, and, of course, he is working very, very hard to try to block CAFTA, to try to block Codex. Now, let's go ahead and get your telephone number and your website out one more time. I can see the board lighting up like a Christmas tree. Go ahead.
Wonderful. Well, the website is www.coalitionforhealthfreedom.org. coalitionforhealthfreedom.org, all one word. We've got a lot of information on there, articles you can read, latest news, the documentary that you can watch. The documentary is very high quality. It's narrated by Dame Judi Dench, the Oscar-winning actress. The film is by the award-winning Kevin Miller, who really kicked off the campaign 11 years ago to get the Deshaies Act passed. He had Mel Gibson in it, you know, being arrested for reaching for his vitamin closet. You may remember that. Well, he's done another amazing job, and it is being seen around the world, and we are really asking people around the world to wake up. This is going to take a global effort, really, because what happens in Europe affects us here and vice versa. But we are really calling on America to stand up now, because we have a golden opportunity to say no to CAFTA, because it will let Codex into the United States. And I'll just give out that number again, which I believe is provided by the Steelworkers Union because they don't want any more of their jobs going down. It's 1-877-762-8762.
Okay, fine. It's 877-762-8762. And let's go to Kyle, who's calling us from Texas. Hi, Kyle. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Hopefully you gentlemen as well.
Right.
Quick question. Just wondering, what is the dosage that, you know, supposedly over there in Europe that they're allowing people to buy? You know, whether it's, you know, vitamin A through E or you know, magnesium or whatever.
Right. That is a great question, and that is the crunch issue. Well, first of all, zinc costs $54 a bottle right now. Just so you know, this, we're talking in Germany, that is. That's a ludicrous amount. We're talking maybe hundreds of dollars sometimes for a bottle. They're going to price this out of reach. And they're criminalizing old ladies in health stores. I mean, there's a woman right now who is, you know, on trial for selling 500 milligrams of vitamin C. In the States, you are allowed to sell 2,000 milligrams as a dosage. In France, it's already illegal to sell above, I think it's 250 milligrams. I'll just give you the figures. They haven't arrived yet in codex of what they're going to be. And this is another complaint that we have. We're being signed up to something that we don't know the details of. And this is just the thin end of the wedge. I mean, the codex is an ongoing thing. But your great question about dosages. Vitamin C, as I say, is 2,000 milligrams at the moment in the United States. They want to make it, if it goes with the German risk assessment body, to be 225 milligrams, which is what it is now in Norway. They tried it out in Norway first, and it's illegal to get more than that right now there. Vitamin D would be 50 micrograms at the moment in the States. It would be 5 micrograms. Vitamin E, well, this is European. We're not going to talk about international units. Just say 1,000 milligrams would become 15 milligrams, and vitamin B6 instead of 100 milligrams would be 5.4 milligrams. Now, a British doctor I know who's a world expert on vitamin D joked about that, and he said, well, I guess they're going to make sunlight illegal, because if you go out in sunlight, you make several thousand units in a couple of hours, just right then and there, and they're trying to give you 5 micrograms? I mean, I think they've gone too far this time. I think people are just, this is ludicrous. We used to have the recommended daily allowance, which has been now called the ridiculous daily allowance. Unfortunately, a lot of countries still have these caps and regulations to make it that small. And so they're saying Codex, in comparison to some countries, will actually be an improvement. But it'd be an absolute catastrophe compared to, for the Dashay Act. It just will not survive in its present form if this comes in.
And Kyle, my concern is that they're going to harm the health of our people, and people say, well, they would never do that. And I would ask, why not? There really are evil and wicked people out there, and when you realize that, why, it all begins to make sense. If you're looking for any logic, there's no logic there. Hey, we're going to have to go because we have another caller. Any last comment you had, Carl, before we let you go?
No, sir. Thank you for your time.
God
appreciate
bless.
It.
Let's go to Darlene, who's calling from New Jersey. Hi, Darlene. How are you doing?
Okay. I just want to state that when people are contacting Congress, now I had heard this before about the pressure from the administration and the intimidation that goes on, and a guy I spoke to on Sunday had reaffirmed that there's a lot of pressure on them.
Who'd you talk to on Sunday? Is it somebody from Congress? Or?
No, a guy from the John Birch Society.
Okay.
And he said that, you know, that there's a lot. I've heard even Ron Paul had said about the intimidation that goes on, where they'll tell them you won't get this position if you don't vote this way on, you know, the way they want. So when people call, they have to get a lot of people to call and let them know. Because he said, even because I told him the representative out here, he said he was against Captain. He said, well, keep calling him anyway. And when I did call him the next time after that, I let him know, his office know, that I know there's a lot of pressure going on, but they have to answer that the constituency.
Amen to that. You're right.
Yeah.
And get your friends to call, and keep calling, and emailing, and faxing. just make it a full-time job until we either get this thing killed or they get this thing passed. And then, of course, we're going to have to reach the people and let them know that they've been betrayed and who those congressmen are who betrayed their oath of office and betrayed America.
Yeah, because we had that happen with the Senate in this state where they were totally against the national ID. I called them how many times? I said not to cave in. And then they turn around and they cave in.
Well, just remember who they are. Remember when they, in November, that's the one thing they fear is that you're going to remember in the votes in November, okay?
Okay, then.
God bless. Let's go to
All
Keith,
right.
Who's calling from Capitola. Hi, Keith. How are you doing?
Good, Doctor. I really appreciate you guys bringing this subject up. A couple of friends and I have been talking about this for the last couple of days. And it reminded me of a veterinarian that turned into, that became a physician because he saw all the diseases happening in the animals that we cured, they cured for years ago, and they're still in problems with the human being. But he said that, if you're raising some kind of...
Hold that thought. We're going to have to go to a quick break here, but hang on. I want to talk to you as soon as we get back. Okay, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Keith calling from Capitola. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, but what this doctor was saying before, that if you were raising, cows, chickens, whatever, monkeys for, lab experiments, whatever, it was required by law that you had to give them five times the amount of vitamins per pound body weight that was recommended for human beings. And I'm sure that's going to continue, but that it's this, codex and CAPTA passes, we're going to be getting this low-quality vitamins and minerals, and like your guest said, that they're going to be charging $85 for a bottle of zinc and stuff, but I'm sure like the veterinarians and everybody else could be getting the same vitamins and minerals for their animals for a quarter of the price.
Well, so, Keith, why would they do that? Why would they restrict the ability of Americans to get the food products and supplements that they need to stay healthy?
Because all the congressmen and our politicians are part owners of all the pharmaceutical companies.
Well, you're probably right. There's a financial motive, but I really believe there are other people who have maybe that they're really not concerned about the health of the people. Anyway, anything else you'd like to say? Philip, how would you respond to what Keith is saying?
He hit them absolutely. It's absolutely true. Chimpanzees and monkeys get treated a whole lot better than humans in zoos. I mean, it's absurd, but it's absolutely true. He's absolutely correct about that.
Yeah.
And they treat racehorses better than us. They put them in hyperbaric oxygen chambers, but they try and make out that hyperbaric oxygen doesn't help you. Like I say, we have the cure for many diseases. We have the cure for AIDS without drugs. We have the cure for cancer. We have the cure for heart disease. The biggest threat to your health is orthodox medicine. The greatest single cause of death in the United States is orthodox medicine.
We have a wonderful four-tape set, Keith. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians, and it's four interviews with a Dr. Dunnigan, and actually one of them is the interview I did. He's a pediatrician who practiced in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for a long period of time, and he heard the head of Planned Parenthood, a Dr. Richard Day, back in 1969, talk about how there were too many people in the world, how they were going to withhold the treatment for cancer because there were too many people in the world and we're going to have to die of something, how they were going to create new diseases and do everything they could to promote ill health. And, it's the most amazing 4-tape set we have. We even have a transcript for it. You wonder how anybody could be that crass and indifferent to human suffering, but there really are people out there. And this is Dr. Richard Day, former medical director of Planned Parenthood. Hey, Keith, thanks so much.
What's it called, the 4-tape set?
The New Order of the Barbarians.
Okay.
It's the most amazing 4-tape set we've got. God bless, and thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Philip Beckwith, thank you so very much. It's been a real pleasure having you with us.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Stan. It's wonderful.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our program this evening. I think it's an important subject, and we encourage you, remember that telephone number, it's 877-762-8762. That's 877-762-8762. And one of the unions is financing that tax-free number, so you can call and call and call your congressman and, you know, just let them know how you feel and call them on a daily basis. Let them know that they're going to be held responsible for the betrayal of this country. And, you know, as Everett Dirksen said, Senator Everett Dirksen, politicians don't see the light until they feel the heat, and you've got to create that heat. America is under attack today. There is a plan to destroy the integrity of this country, and if you have not seen my video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to. If you haven't seen the video we have, Sustainable Development, The Road to World Government, you need to. If you have any question about what's going on and how they are using food to destroy the lives of our people and injections to destroy the lives of our people, why, you need to get my new talk on fluoride toxicity, which gives you an overview of what's going on. It's called The History of Fluoride Toxicity or Water Fluoridation, and there's a syllabus that goes with that called The Hidden Agenda. But probably one of the best things we have available now is a video called None Dare Call It Genocide. That's None Dare Call It Genocide. There is a genocidal agenda out there. There is a population control agenda. They really are working to kill off millions of people. And if you doubt that, you can go to my website at RadioLiberty.com and pull down our population control agenda monograph. We have many of the documents that that original documents on that that monograph, but read it through, and if you need any documentation on it, why, we'll be glad to provide it for you. We have a 4-tape set on population control. We have a video on population control. We have that 4-tape set we mentioned. The New Order of the Barbarians, a 4-tape set on genocide, a 4-tape set on why do we have cancer still. A 4-tape set on Dr. Brzezinski. Dr. Brzezinski has a very effective cancer treatment that has been actively suppressed here in America. Why would the government suppress a treatment for cancer? Why? There are too many people in the world. They're going to have to die of something. As incredible as it may seem, we have all the documentation. We have many books. The Brzezinski Breakthrough is a wonderful book. The book A World Without Cancer. We have a 4-tape set on Laetril, and no doctor in California is allowed by law to tell you that Laetril is an effective treatment. Why? I mean, even if it doesn't do any good, is there any harm in trying it? And, of course, there is harm in trying it, because I know an awful lot of people who've taken it and gotten better. But I certainly couldn't recommend it to you as a physician in the state of California, because it would be against the law. Why is the law there? Well, maybe Dr. Day was telling the truth. Maybe they are suppressing treatments for cancer. Our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our June newsletter, which just went out today, called The Occult Hierarchy Part 2. Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to send it to you. Or you can go up on our internet site at RadioLiberty.com and pull down The Occult Hierarchy Part 1 and then The Occult Hierarchy Part 2, the June newsletter. Read it, copy it, contemplate it. Could this really be true? We carry one of the books we quote there called Extraordinary People, Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings. Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings. Who are these extraordinary beings? Well, you're going to have to read the newsletter. You're going to have to read the book. But it is one of the most incredible newsletters I've ever written. And so, until tomorrow at the same time, please pray for America. Pray for revival. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.